if you like betting on golf. But everyone that you back misses the cut. Get some experts involved with all the stats and the tips and so much more. 'Cause it's the golf betting system. The golf betting system is the golf betting system podcast.
Greetings and welcome to the Golf Betting System podcast 156. This is our 2021 WGC Dell Technologies Match Play Plus Corrales Punta Cana Championship Tips and Picks episode. Take a breath. Paul Williams and Barry O'Hanrahan join me, Steve Bamford, discuss this week's PGA Tour and World Golf Championship action. Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning, guys.
Morning, everyone.
This podcast is for listeners of 18 and above. Please be gamble aware. You can visit begambleaware.org for more information. And, of course, please bet responsibly. Visit our world-famous golf betting system website with our in-depth betting previews, masses of tournament statistics and our predictor models, all available completely free of charge with no paywall. Please subscribe to this podcast and drive the popularity of the show. We are available on social media. Barry is on Twitter. He is at A Good Talk Golf. Paul is at Golf Betting. I am at Bamford Golf. You can join our Golf Betting System Facebook group. The link is available in the description box. I let another 12 people in this morning, so welcome to those individuals. Plus, look out for the Steve Bamford Golf YouTube channel, where I present the Golf Betting Show every week. Now, it's time for our listener reviews. Your reviews power this podcast. So, if you could spend the time giving us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, leave your name and where you are from in the review. I will read them out in future episodes. And if you're in the growing band of YouTube listeners, please subscribe and like the show. Right, first review, best ever 5 stars. Hi, I'm Ella, based in the United States, originally from Nigeria. Would be unfair to not drop a comment after bumping into Steve's video 2 years ago, and I have now jumped on the podcast. Not one yet, they always say that, but always close thanks to the info you guys give. I listen to the podcast over and over before a tournament just to make sure I haven't missed anything important. It's surely the best golf betting pod out there. That is from Sir Fee, and they are in Ella. She's in the United States of America.
Very good, thank you.
Very good. Next up, one from Ireland, Barry. A great listen, 5 stars. I really enjoyed the show. Very informative and knowledgeable for anyone who likes a bet on the golf. Keep up the excellent work. And that is from Falcon Snow 147 in the Republic of Ireland. And then we have one from Australia. Here we go. Great show, 5 stars. Stumbled across the show about 6 months ago and instantly loved the guys. I've bet on golf for years and find the boys' breakdown of tournaments very helpful. They don't always pick the winners, in brackets, but who does in golf? But it's a very enjoyable listen each week, and they will help you find some good place bets. Keep up the good works, guys. That is from Tony. His handle is Albie Chemo, and he is in Australia. The other side of the world, gentlemen. The power of the podcast.
Fantastic. The global reach.
Mission activated to prove... Yeah, mission activated to prove Tony wrong and pick a couple of winners, guys.
Yeah, so well, it's, let's get our... it's inbound, isn't it? It's inbound.
Sure, yeah. Well, I love the faith.
Inbound, isn't it?
Yeah, let's hope so, Steve.
I thought we had it last week with Shane Lowry. I've actually got a screenshot on my screen here of Shane teeing it off on the 10th hole. And there's the leaderboard. And it's got Aaron Wise at 14 under through 5 holes. And then we've got tied for second, Shane Lowry, Matt Jones, Brandon Hagee, and then Robert Streben Henley at 7 under. And that's kind of the time I was telling Barry off mic, I was absolutely, totally and utterly out of it on Saturday night. Tired, fell asleep on the settee, went to bed, woke up really excited. Where's Shane? Got a great chance, Shane Lowry, this week. And I just... It was about, I don't know, 10 past 6 Sunday morning. The boy let me have a lie in 10 past 6. And it's like, oh, just scrolling and scrolling. And I just...
Keep scrolling.
But I was just, it was expletive city away from my 6 year old child. What has he done, this Shane Lowry? I think it was 6 bogeys in the last 8 holes.
He had an awful back 9, didn't he? Was it a 40? I think he shot something like that. Yeah.
That golf course is a brute. It really is. When it has you grabbed by the neck, it's just not letting you go.
You've got to make those birdies, haven't you? Early on, you've got to get yourself ahead of the game.
You've got to get 2-3 under through those first 4, haven't you? Yeah.
Mm. The thing is, we ask for challenging golf, but there's something about that golf course that makes it not interesting to watch challenging golf. I don't know what it is for me. Do they overhype it with this bear trap kind of line that they take, or something about the tournament didn't grab me. Now, maybe it's because the last 6-7 weeks has been sensational on the PGA Tour. And maybe it's just a little hangover from that, and I needed a break. Or maybe it is just the PGA National it's a rough one to kind of really engage with.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely
it destroyed Shane.
So. Yeah, it did. Yeah, it was a shame. Yeah, definitely a drop down in class, wasn't it, last week in terms of the players? So
feel strength. You
know,
yeah,
we've been over the last few weeks, we've been blessed with some fantastic tournaments, haven't we? So it needed to come eventually, and of course everyone's back in action this week, aren't they? So it's understandable a few of them took a breather.
With the way that the things flow, that you're going from the players, which is a huge event, like lots of mental energy being spent into that, then at the Honda, and then immediately the week after you're starting on the Wednesday for the match play. Okay, it's only for the top 64 guys, but it's you can see very few of those top 64 putting much effort into the Honda when there's the match play, a WGC match play is coming up on a short week as well. It almost makes sense to have a little break week.
Yeah.
I saw Andy Johnson tweet that, or I think he was saying it on his pod. So I don't know. It's just a rough one. Let's move forward. Hopefully Shane has as well. It kind of sucked. I was pretty much counting the place money as a lock, and that disappeared.
I wonder if he just won out of steam, because he went up to Augusta with Westwood, didn't he, Monday, Tuesday, and it just, you know, yeah. Thursday, Friday, when he chipped in on Friday on 18, little fist pump, you could see he was really into it, and that's what really gave me those positive vibes. He's into this seriously, and when they spoke to him in an interview, and he said exactly the same thing at the players, I need a challenging golf course to get my juices flowing. You know, 22 under, I just can't. I need a course where it's sort of edge of the, you know, seat of the pants stuff, pars and birdies and bogeys. That's what gets me going. He said that in an interview. And I was really excited. And then the wheels just fell off, just totally fell off. One thing I will say before we go, it was good for me. I had Brendan Steele shot that 65 to get me a full each way return.
It was a nice Sunday, wasn't it?
Matt Jones breaks into the top 50. I believe, of course, he also gets a Masters invite now. Top 50 in the world now, Matt Jones. What were you saying off Mike about Matt Jones, Barry, and the fact that when it comes to hard golf courses, that he's different gravy, isn't he, Jones?
It was crazy. I saw somebody posted his results on OWGR, so you see the course alongside the result, and the correlation between tough golf courses that involve wind and possibly a little bit of ball rolling out, his results on them are just complete standouts. It's incredible. So one to note for the future, but like very hard one to pull pre-event.
Yeah.
Maybe after you saw him start or something, but it's there was only a little sign of life at Riviera a few weeks ago. I guess if you properly thought about it, you know, tricky golf course. Well, yeah, it's a tough test
fast,
of golf.
And, fast, firm fairways, yeah. Releasing greens, yeah. And 15 to 20 mile an hour wind or more.
Exactly. But it was still a bit of a stretch to make the full grab and back him. So he was brilliant. And oh my God, how fast does that guy play? It's incredible.
Yeah.
Refreshing. Especially when he was grouped with JB Holmes.
Oh, God. I can't believe they didn't take an opportunity to give him penalty shots in a, let's call it a low-level tour event, which is what it was this year. It was a perfect opportunity to ping him with that and kind of set the stall out. They just don't care about it. They really don't. But he's taking the piss at this stage. Like, that's bad for their brand. So maybe it is something they'll look at.
Just for informational purposes, the Masters, the top 50 in the world after the match play, get invites the cut-off's this Sunday. That's just for information purposes only. So there might be a few players at the World Match Play this week, Paul.
Yeah.
Who can actually sneak into the Masters field.
Yeah,
I'm looking at someone like, I don't know, I'm literally clutching at straws here. I mean, that's how I make a living. But JT Poston?
Yeah, there's a few down in that kind of late 50s and 60s brackets.
Yeah. Adam Long, those kind of players. Yeah. I take it they'd need to get out of the group. That's kind of... Taylor Gooch would be another one.
Yeah, to get some decent ranking points, you do need to get out of the group, which is easier said than done, of course. But it'll be a big character, a few of them, won't it? Who are kind of in that in that bubble area just outside the top 50 and haven't already got an invite locked up. So,
do you know who will have that this week tracked properly? Is Nosferatu.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great follow on Twitter, Nosferatu, for anything OWGR related.
It's the best. Well, that's the segue then. The World Golf Championship Dell Match Play. I said Dell Technologies. Oh, Dell Technologies Match Play. Yeah, it's Dell Technologies. Right. It's the one week of the year that's different. So we thought we'd do something different with the show this week. I'm going to hand over to Paul, who's always in the chair for the Dell Match Play and has had a few winners over the years of this, even though it's really kind of lottery-like, this one, isn't it? I mean, I talk about the Bob Hope lottery on the PGA Tour. This one's different kind of gravy, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a bit divisive, isn't it, in terms of the, you know, whether people like it or not. It's a bit Marmite, isn't it, in terms of an event. And I know a number of punters just give it a miss completely, but others absolutely love it. But I enjoy it when the players are playing well, of course, that I've backed. And you know, in the olden days before they changed the format, you could be shot to pieces after the first day. Your players could be out, and you could be sitting there twiddling your thumbs for the rest of the tournament. But all changed. We'll go through the format in a second. But yes, we're off to Texas for the World Match Play. Top 64 in the world should be here. We've got a few missing. Brooks Koepka, who's had some knee surgery. It'd be interesting to see if he makes it to Augusta, but that's got to put serious doubts on his attendance in a couple of weeks' time. Justin Rose isn't playing. Adam Scott, Gary Woodland, of course, Tiger Woods isn't playing either. So those five are out. So five players from just outside the top 64 have managed to get themselves into the field for this week. It starts on Wednesday, of course. So we're recording this Tuesday morning. It starts tomorrow. The Kenya Savannah Classic, which I previewed yesterday, is in progress at the moment. So in play only if you're having a bet on that. My preview, for what it's worth, is on the on the website, if you want to come and have a look and see who I've gone for this week. But that's already in progress. As I say, the World Match Play starts tomorrow, Wednesday. Looking at the market, it's always a strange market because you don't get these kind of extremely short prices because of the format. So Justin Thomas is the favourite, 12-1. Bryson DeChambeau, 14s. Dustin Johnson, 14-1. John Rahm, 14-1. So you've got three players there vying for second favouritism at the 14-1 point. Rory McIlroy, 20-1. Colin Morikawa, 22s. Patrick Reed, Paul Casey, Jordan Spieth, 25-1. Then you're into the likes of Patrick Cantlay, Victor Hovland, Xander, 28-1. 30-1 bar those players. Now, you do have a couple of options this week. A few of the bookies are taking a different stance on this. So traditionally, over here in the UK, you've had quarterly odds for the top four if you're playing an each way or placing an each way bet on this event in the past. So essentially, if your player got through to the semi-finals, you placed him each way, you'd get yourself an each way payout, a quarter of the odds. A few bookies, the ones that stick out, Boyle Sports, Paddy Power, Betfair over here, have gone a fifth of the odds for a top eight finish. So that means if your player gets through to the quarterfinals, then you're getting yourself an each way payout this week rather than getting all the way through to the semis. Now, again, as always with these things, there's a differential in price, and you're generally finding there's, you know, a notch or two off each of the odds as a result of taking these top five or top eight rather than top four prices. But it's certainly food for thought, and you know, the words that you've been instilling in me, Barry, over the last few weeks about taking these longer prices have certainly washed through.
Has it worked?
Well, it's work in progress, I'd say. But
okay,
let me give you an example. I'm seeing Patrick Reed here, 25-1 across the board this week to win this.
Mm-hmm.
So you can have 25-1, four places in a, so top four, quarter of the odds, or you can have 25-1, eight places, so reach the quarterfinal and 50 odds with Boyle Sports.
Brainer.
It's a no-brainer, isn't it? Justin Thomas is the same. I'm seeing Justin Thomas 12-1 with Boyle Sports, which is the best price in the market. Eight places each way, 50 odds.
Yeah, there are a few nuggets in there. Yeah, to be fair.
And this is what we keep saying week on week in, week out on the podcast. You know, if you're a regular golf punter, having a Boyle Sports account right now, you know, Xander Schauffele, Boyle Sports, his best price with William Hill at the moment. We're recording this Tuesday morning over here in the UK. 28-1 William Hill, four places, or 28-1 with Boyle Sports. Eight places of 50 odds. What would you do? It's a no-brainer, isn't it?
It is, because that's an entire additional round your player's got to win. An extra match they've got to win to make it through from the quarters to the semis. Oh, so.
And with every other bookmaker, Xander is either 25s or 22s. So you could be having 22-1 at four places with someone like BetVictor. It's like, oh. So a Boyle Sports account, absolutely vital right now. Don't forget, of course, you can sign up as a new customer via Golf Betting System. There are individual deals for those of you in the Republic of Ireland and in the UK. Key terms and conditions available on the website. They are also seven places each way, 50 odds, at the Corrales Punta Cana Championship this week. So actually, if you're looking at it in terms of additional places over industry standard, across both events, they're six, giving away six additional spots just this week alone.
They've been very aggressive recently, which is good to see, isn't it? And yes, back to my point on you, Barry, I've placed all of my bets this week in that top eight market and taken a small knock on the prices on some of them, not all of them, as you say, I think that's the way to play it. But each for their own, as ever. The format of the event, well, the format changed back in 2015 because it did used to be this straight knockout of 64 all the way through to the final. Now they play it in 16 groups of four. There's a round robin for those groups, so every player in each group plays each other once over Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then you go into the straight knockout from there. So 16 becomes 8, becomes 4, and becomes 2 on Sunday's final. I guess what that does do is it gives players the chance that if they do lose on Wednesday, that's not the end of their tournament. It does make it trickier if you do lose your first game, because the permutations then become a little bit more complex, and you'll often find that as a result of that, players who lose a game end up having to progress via a playoff potentially, unless the results in the group particularly go their way. But it's well within the realms of possibility to lose one of those three matches and still progress through to the knockout stages. So all is not lost this time, as it used to be once upon a time, when you could find all your bets down the pan by Wednesday evening and looking for a reload. I quite like the format. There wasn't the glitz and glamour of the draw show, which we've seen in the past yesterday. It was all pre-drawn, so it was just, as you said earlier, Barry, off mic, it was just a reveal, really, of the groups rather than the actual... did live draw, which is, has been done in the past. We'll put a link through to the full bracket so you can see exactly who is playing who. It's always useful to have a view then of how these brackets and how these quarters pan out. So if you are looking to place a bet, potentially one from each quarter, just to make sure that your players aren't meeting each other at the group stage or potentially the first knockout stage, which would mean that you're going to stand less chance of getting a return potentially. Anyway, back to the course. Austin Country Club is where we play now. It's a Pete Dye track. Pete Dye, think of Harbour Town, TPC, Louisiana, Whistling Straits, of course, TPC Sawgrass from a couple of weeks back as well. Quite specialised, and some players do get on much better than others at Pete Dye tracks. And there is a Pete Dye variable in the predictor model this week for the match play. So if you want to see who has performed best over the last few years on Pete Dye tracks, then you can pump that into your variable in your predictor and see how that impacts your output from there. The course, 7,127 yard par 71, risk and reward really. Par fives, the three of them on the 6th, the 12th and the 16th, they're all about 580 yards, but they can be quite pivotal in terms of match play, as can the three short par fours. All of them sub 400 yards. They're on the 5th, the 13th, when these matches start to get really quite critical. And then, of course, on the 18th hole as well, which offers a few options from off the tee. With the brave or those needing to get to win the hole can have a pop at the hole. And those who want to play it more strategically can leave themselves at the top of the hill with a wedge in. It's a it's an interesting hole that does create a lot of drama coming down the end of these matches each year. Since the restoration, there was a restoration here in 2016. Since the restoration, the greens have been relayed with Tiff Eagle Bermuda. I guess the course now, we've seen it a few years. We switched here in 2016, so this is will be the fifth renewal of it. So we've seen it a few times. If you're looking at the stats historically, and again on the website, we go back all the way to 1999. Then there are some different tracks where this has been played. It used to be played at Dove Mountain, didn't it? TPC yep. Harding Park in 2015 was one of the different tracks as well. But if you're looking for these Austin tracks, 2016 onwards, so 16, 17, 18 and 19. Just some recent winners then, just to give a flavour of what kind of player has got over the line on this event in the past. 2010 was Ian Poulter, 28-1. I think I was on Poulter back then, back in the day. 2011, Luke Donald, 35-1. 2012 was Hunter Mahan, 50-1. 2013, yes.
Wow.
You kind of read the name and give him where he is now.
It's, playing in Punta Cana this week.
Yeah, exactly.
Likely to miss the cut.
We'll see. 2013, Matt Kuchar, 35-1. 2014, Jason Day, 20-1. All of those events were at Dove Mountain. 2015, they moved to Harding Park. Rory McIlroy won that single event that was held at Harding Park. 11-1, McIlroy was. Jason Day, 2016, 14-1. That was the first year at Austin. 2017 was Dustin Johnson at 10-1. 2018, Bubba Watson, 50-1. And 2019... was Kevin Kisner at 80-1. So all of those winners going back to 2010, they were all ranged between, well, the favourite, the shortest price was Rory McIlroy, 11-1. In fact, no, sorry, Dustin Johnson, 10-1. The longest was KK last time out at 80-1. So no massive shocks, and a few of the short price favourites have gone in over the years as well. So bit of a mix. Bit of a mix in terms of the weather as well. Thursday, potentially going to be quite windy. So there's a bit of rain. There's a weather front coming through. There's potentially a bit of rain more in the morning than the afternoon. And potential for some wind to get up to kind of 25, 30 mile an hour gusts as well. Potential for a bit of wind on Sunday, although it's a little bit further away. So we shall see about that. But it can make the course quite tricky. So I don't think the course is incidental. I know when we're playing match plays, you know, the whole kind of theory of it is it's man v man and the course is quite academic, but I'm not sure it is here. It does
not true.
Yeah, I think it's got to add a level of variability to it, particularly when there's some weather involved as well. So So yeah, I think well worth considering the style of the track, and you know, in theory, the track being a relatively short par 71 should suit the more accurate types. But that's, you know, again, reading through the list of winners here, Day, DJ, Baba, you know, Kevin Kisner's the only one that you'd probably put into that bracket who kind of fits the mold of the track more than you'd expect. So yeah, lots of variables this week, as ever in this format. Just a couple of trends to go through. Before Kevin Kisner won, the previous five winners had all won an event in one of their previous five starts. And in fact, Jason Day and Dustin Johnson had both won on their previous start before coming and being victorious here in Austin. So this good win, recent form.
Yeah, so this win-win scenario with Thomas is definitely on.
Yeah, absolutely. It's, you know, there's been a lot of good form players who've come and perform well in this event. And if you go back all the way to 2013, every one of the winners had got at least a quarterfinal finish or better at some point in this event in their history. And going all the way back to 2010, there's no debutants there who'd been victorious either. So, yeah, a bit of history, a bit of experience in this format, and a bit of experience in match play is definitely something to be to consider this week. And there are an awful lot of debutants this week. It's got to be said, when you work through, and again, you can kind of glean that from the history stats that are on the website. There are a lot of players who are making their WGC debut. And of course, some are going to have amateur match play experience. Some of them have played in you know, various other match play events over the years. But this is quite specialised. And I think you know, it's well worth considering players who've played well or have some practical experience of this event in the past. So, yeah, I've got my bracket here. So I thought the best thing to do probably is if we work through the four quarters, and if you've got a particular fancy of players that are going to go through a group or players that are going to go through the quarter and either reach the quarterfinals or the semifinals to pay out these each way bets, then that'll be the time to pipe up, chaps. So I'll start in the top left corner. So we're talking about the quarter that contains Dustin Johnson as the top seed. Sung Jae-im is seed 16, and then Webb Simpson and Tyrrell Hatton's groups as well. DJ, first of all, DJ, Kevin Na, McIntyre, Adam Long. I don't see a great deal of challenge there to DJ as to whether he can go all the way. I mean, we've seen DJ over the last couple of weeks, and it's not been quite right to me. Well, I don't know about you guys.
No. Ever since Sunday of Riviera, things went a little bit awry for him, and it's just not been ideal since then. He's kind of, the driver's turned into a little bit of a two-way miss machine rather than the missile launcher it was. So if he had been in his form pre-Riviera going into this, you'd really fancy him. But it just depends what he's done in the off week between the players and now to clean things up. And, you know, you wouldn't put it past DJ, but recent history is kind of saying maybe just... Look, the thing is with DJ, with his B game, he can still go and cruise that group.
Yeah.
And then it's game on from there because it's match play.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Not a bet for me, but just my two cents on it.
I've got some stats here from Justin Rowe. Since the match play moved to Austin Country Club, 36% of groups were won by the top seed. So that's players 1 through 16. So you think of that threat. Was that 5 out of 16 this week are likely to be won by the top seed?
Right, okay.
Second seed, 25%. Third seed, 22%. Fourth seed, 17%. Seven players seeded fifth or lower made the quarterfinals. So that's seven players across. That'd be, what, four renewals, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, you just to put that into context, you look at that bracket. The one that would shouts to me that is DJ's nearest challenger would be Kevin Na.
Yes.
He's been playing some quite nice stuff recently.
Yeah, he has. And he's got that recent win as well, hasn't he? So there's, you know, the thing with Na is he's not always a player who can make it through 4 days of tournament play, let alone what will be seven matches he'll have to play to get himself through to the to the final. But
to get out of the group, though, yeah, stranger things have happened. You could see DJ going home because, like Barry said, the two-way miss off the tee, the putter's been quirky, it's been clunky. I think he's potentially, that isn't as... You looked at the odds to win that group. Clearly, DJ would be crazy odds on, but it could be a surprise in there.
Just a little nugget about how well you do need to play in the groups. Looking back at 2019, there are seven guys that had a record of two wins and one loss and didn't make it through the group stages. So, read into three. You just have to be thinking, my God, whoever you're backing in the outright market, you got to visualize and see him winning all three games. If there's a little bit of doubt, then it just becomes a much trickier proposition to pull the trigger on the bet.
DJ 11 to 10 on to win that group. Kevin Na 130, McIntyre 4s, and Adam Long 11 to 2.
Yeah, I wasn't overly interested in that group. They'll be playing the winner of Sung Jae-im, Victor Perez, Mark Leishman, and Henley. You got a pick in there, Barry. One of yours, I think, wasn't it?
In the first group?
Yeah, the second one. Did you go on Leishman or am I dreaming?
Oh, sorry, I do, yeah, beg your pardon. I've half tuned out for a second. I've got the list of the groups, but I don't have the bracket up yet to match off the groups, so I'm just like, what is he talking about? I have Leishman because, a little bit of wind, the golf course can get firm and bouncy. There were, little bits of signs of life there at Bay Hill, I think it was, with the long game. And it's kind of, also buying into that biorhythm thing with the Masters coming up. And, we have in our head that Leishman always plays well at the Masters. He's only got one really good result, but it seems there's always a positivity about him when it comes to this time of year. So I figured for 100 to 1, for him to get to, look, if he wins, great. Same with any of the bets, but 100 to 1, if he gets to the quarters, I get my 150 odds place payout, and I don't see that beyond the realms of possibility, so I took a punt on it. Match play could be the thing to really free him up completely.
He topped greens in regulation at the Players, Leishman. In that group...
That's spectacular. Miss the cut of the year?
Yeah, exactly. So the putt in the short guy. Im is 6-4 favourite. Russell Henley at 5-2, Perez at 7-2, and Mark Leishman is the outsider of that group, 100-30.
There you go.
I'm exactly with Barry. I would plump for Leishman in that group.
Yeah, it's not without outside the realms of possibility that he makes it through. That section, and the DJ Nahr, McIntyre, Long group. Mm-hmm. If DJ goes through, then that's going to be the next hurdle. But if he doesn't, then there's potential for progression after that as well.
He could be adding to that 17% of fourth seeds. Oh, is he top seed in that group?
Leishman?
Yeah. No, Sung Jae.
No, he's third. No, Sung Jae's top. Victor Perez.
I think for me, Leishman's the pick of that group.
Cool. Well, further down then, we've got Webb Simpson, Paul Casey, Mackenzie Hughes and Talor Gooch in one group, and in group nine that is, and then we've got Till Hatton, Lee Westwood, Sergio Garcia and Matt Wallace in an all-European, potentially an all-Ryder Cup group for this coming year, should Matt Wallace find his way into that team this year. An interesting group here. I mean, I've got one pick in that section myself. I've got to say, I was close on Casey. He's played well. He's got that recent win. He was backed off the board yesterday, and that was even before the groups came out. And his group against Simpson, Hughes, Gooch doesn't look overly strong, does it? And you can see Casey getting through that particular group. The question then will be, let's assume he gets through. The question then will be, who does he play? And for me, out of Hatton, Westwood, Garcia and Wallace, Hatton is the most likely player to progress there. Westwood's had a couple of fantastic efforts in recent weeks, hasn't he? But a bit off the boil last week, as you'd expect. And, perhaps it's going to start to take its toll, those efforts, both physically and mentally. Lee's knocking 50 now, so it's going to be it's going to be taking its toll on him, I guess. Sergio, I still can't trust him with his putting, particularly in this format where I think he's going to need to be able to putt to progress. And Matt Wallace, for all of his qualities, still got a bit of a temperament on him, and he's relatively inexperienced at this kind of format and this kind of level. So for me, Hatton's had a fantastic, 16 months now, hasn't he? He's won four times in that period. Got a win in Abu Dhabi a few weeks back as well. And for me, he'd progress from that group. He'd beat those other three players or find a way to get through that group. And then it would be potentially against Casey for a place in the quarterfinals. And given a Hatton-Casey match, I'd plump for Hatton simply because I think he's going to be the player who can make those critical extra putts when push comes to shove. And from there, well, I guess if he makes it through to the quarterfinals, and that's the each way place paid, and that's 28-1 rather with Hatton that I took with the eight places. And then he's potentially against us, if what we've talked about with the other side of the group comes through, Leishman versus Dustin Johnson. There's potential then for Hatton to progress further and further and potentially all the way through to the final, in my view. Don't know, was there anyone at the bottom there you guys had an eye on?
Casey 6-4 to win the group. Simpson at 2-1. Tallor Gooch at 4s. Mackenzie Hughes at 5s. For me, Casey definitely wins that group. I could actually see a scenario. I'm going to go against you. I could see a scenario where Casey gets out of that quadrant. Like you say, Hatton, Westwood, Garcia, Wallace. I see Hatton winning that group. I think Westwood's potentially at the end of his tether physically. Matt Wallace, he could win a game by... he could win 7-6 one day and lose 7-6 the next day with Wallace at the moment. And Sergio, he's got a great die record. He could spring a surprise, Sergio, and we know that his strokes gain approach at the moment is unbelievable. But I potentially could see a scenario where you could have Leishman qualifying from the top quadrant and Casey from the bottom quadrant of that section of the board. You'd have those two fighting it out.
Yeah, for a semi-final
spot.
Yeah, okay.
Would not be surprised in the slightest with Leishman and Casey.
Yeah.
The trouble with Casey is, if I'm going to have a bet on Casey, actually, in the match play, it probably isn't the worst angle to go at. And I've actually backed him at 25.
Yeah, so plenty have.
I'm on board the Casey train this week.
Plenty have. Okie dokie.
I'm going to keep my powder dry on that. Yeah. It nearly bit me a few weeks ago when I ripped into you.
Yep. He plays some outstanding stuff at the moment.
He is, yeah. No,
he really is. He really is playing great golf. But, he's still lost. So,
yeah.
He's the kind of guy, he's got that dogged kind of grit about him when it comes to match play that you kind of want on your side. So, I can totally see it.
Okay, so let's shift along to the second quarter then. This is Justin Thomas's quarter, effectively, okay, as the top seed. So we've got the top half of that. We've got Justin Thomas against Louis Oosthuizen, Kevin Kisner, the defending champion, Matt Kuchar, who made the final last time in 2019, and has also won a WGC match play in the past as well. The winner of that group will play either Matt Fitzpatrick, Matt Wolfe, Corey Connors or Jordan Spieth. And again, I've got a pick in this section for the outright, and I've plumped for Justin Thomas. And I know he's the favourite. He was the first name on my list, to be honest. And should he make it through the group? And to be honest, it's not the easiest of groups, but you can say that about all the groups when you look at it on paper, can't you?
That's been christened the group of death, apparently.
That one's not so nice.
Yeah. I don't know. If Kisner had been in a completely different part of the group or a different part of the tournament, full stop. I might have been tempted to go for him at around about the 70-80-1 mark because he's clearly shown a liking for the format and clearly shown a liking for the track. So yeah, tough one, but I've gone for Thomas. you know, if you go back to the stat that I said earlier, before Kisner won, all five of the previous winners had won recently, and of course he won at the Pete Dye track at TPC Sawgrass a couple of weeks back. Dustin Johnson and Jason Day had both won their previous start as well, so that ticks another box, doesn't it? And he was fourth here in 2018. He lost to the eventual winner, which was Bubba Watson back then. But he's also shown some decent match play form in the years, isn't he? A top scorer for Team USA last time there was the Ryder Cup. And we've seen him win back-to-back in the past. He won in Hawaii twice, didn't he? Going back in 2017, I think it was. Won the Tournament of Champions and then the Sony Open the week after. So he's got history in that kind of scenario in the past. And I think he's going to be hungry. You know, he's had a rough few weeks, isn't he, Justin? And he clearly got himself over that with a fantastic back nine at TPC Sawgrass. And he should be feeling, you know, at the top of his game right now. See, I see him making it past Oosthuizen, Kisner and Kuchar. Yeah. I guess the biggest threat then, yeah, biggest threat potentially, Jordan Spieth in the next round.
Yeah. I think it's written in the stars. And it was interesting with that draw. It wasn't actually a draw. It was just a kind of an unveiling, wasn't it?
Yeah, an unveiling.
Yeah. Let's pull back the curtains.
Oh, JT and Spieth.
Yeah.
In
this
the
was
last
over.
16,
It that group, Paul, that Thomas is in, that feels to me like an almost banker for a playoff to get through to the round of 16. You know, with Usti's got a phenomenal match play record without winning. Kisner's brilliant at it as well. Kuchar, look, he's way off the boil, but he could just as easily compete in a match play format, you know. And so it's that one to me screams playoff. Good luck. I mean, I would have backed Kisner, but like it's hard to see any of those guys winning all three matches. That was kind of a blocker for me.
Yeah.
So Kisner is not on the auto bet this week.
JT is 6-5. Louis is 11-4. Kisner 100-30. Kuchar 5-1 in that group. And then I think the Spieth group's fascinating.
Yeah.
Group 15. Let's bring up the odds on that one. We've got Jordan Spieth at 15-8. Fitzpatrick 9-4. Connors, who's playing golf from the highest stratosphere, 100-30. And Matt Wolf, 9-2. I just think it's kind of written in the stars that Spieth gets through that group. And he's the lowest seed. Yeah. His approach play since Pebble is outstanding, and he's managed to stop this destructive driving. And actually, in match play, if he has a destructive drive, he loses the hole and we move on.
Yeah, it's not a double or a triple. No. Triple, yeah.
I think Spieth gets through that group.
Yeah, it's quite possible. And as you say, that would be a match that you know, people would be very much looking forward to, should it be Jordan Spieth against Justin Thomas. For me, if Thomas makes it through the group, then he'll be, you know, he'll feel almost indestructible, given that it was one of the tougher groups to get through. So that's kind of my logic with that. But a tough one. But no one said it was going to be easy, this format. So you've got to beat a lot of the best players to get yourself through, haven't you?
Mm-hmm.
The other side of that group, Patrick Cantlay, Hideki, Carlos Ortiz, Harmon in group 10. And then you've got Patrick Reed, Joaquin Niemann, Christian Bezuidenhout and Bubba Watson, another former winner in group 7.
Joaquin Niemann, by the way. Patrick Cantlay is 5-4. Hideki 13-5. Harmon at 4-1. Carlos Ortiz at 5. Do you know what? In that particular group, there is a lot to be going for either Ortiz or Harmon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is a very, very dodgy group for the two top seeds.
Yeah, Harmon's playing great at the moment, and this is the kind of golf course that just kind of, again, clicks right in his wheelhouse, you know?
He is a Kevin Kisner sort, isn't he? Great die record.
Yep. Playing some great stuff, as you say.
Yeah. I'd probably pump on Harmon, you know, in that group. In fact, I don't think he's a bad long shot, really. I'm still scrolling for Brian Harmon. I can't find him in the odds. I'm way down here. I'm down
deep. Hang on.
Oh wow. 80 to 1.
Yeah.
Level with Siwoo Kim. Kind of right. Yeah. Ortiz has been playing some great stuff as well. And he can be a fantastic putter, Carlos Ortiz. So, yeah, there's definitely life in the lower seeds in that bracket.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, whoever gets through is still going to have to come up against potentially a Patrick Reed. Any love for Reed from you guys? Oh, mate. Mr. Match Play?
How can Reed not get out of that group?
I've backed Reed 25-1. It feels like I think Reed has a match play win in him during his career in this event, and so in that respect 25-1 feels like a good price. The group doesn't petrify me. I think he can use who he is to beat the other guys. His dogged kind of character. Not a fan of the way he goes about things with like his looking for friendly ruling situations or doing a bit of hairdressing or hairbrushing of the grass.
You've been a little politically correct there, Barry.
Absolutely, as fence sitting as possible. I've backed him. I think he should be a good chance to get out of there at that group. Reed, Bubba's really kind of a bit all over the place at the moment.
Reed is 11-8, Neiman 11-4, Christian Bezuidenhout 7-2, Bubba Watson 9-2. I am not touching Bubba Watson with yours at 9-2. Yeah, Reed gets out of that group. That to me, that whole quadrant screams either JT Patrick Reed quarterfinal or Jordan Spieth Patrick Reed quarterfinal.
Yeah, that would make for a very good Saturday viewing.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Absolutely. Right, let's rotate round then. So we've got now the bottom right quadrant, if you're looking at your bracket, which is Xander Schauffele's. Xander Schauffele's the sixth seed. John Rahm's actually the shortest seed, the best seed in this section. So Rahm's third seeded. Let's start at the top though. Xander, Scotty Scheffler, Jason Day, and Andy Sullivan. The winner of that group will play Rory McIlroy, Cam Smith, Lanto Griffin, or the postman Ian Poulter.
Xander 11-8, Jay Day 5-2, Scotty Scheffler 11-4. I think there'll be love for Scotty because he's been playing some nice golf, Scotty Scheffler. Andy Sullivan, I'm not even going to go there. 13-2 on Andy Sullivan to win that group.
Yeah, that's a tough old group for Andy Sullivan to try and that.
I was going to say fried egg gentlemen, but I'm not going to do that.
We have like a late night golf betting system podcast story. We should do that sometime.
We will do that one day. But yes, who's going first?
Yeah, well, go on, Barry, you go.
Have you backed anyone in that section, Paul?
I have, yeah. I've backed Jason Day. So 40-1 at 2.
I'm with you.
We're in. It's a nightmare. In. It's a podcast tip. All three. Jay Day.
We're all in. 40-1, 8 places each way to make it through to the quarterfinals. Yeah, I mean, he's got to beat Scheffler, he's got to beat Sullivan, he's got to beat Xander. But Jason Day, he's what, 2014 winner over at Dove Mountain, 2016 winner here. He just loves match play, doesn't he?
Yeah, great director.
How good is his long game at the moment? Where is he at?
Well, what was it? Sawgrass, second strokes going off the tee, second for strokes going tee to green. He lost something like 7.5 strokes on the greens at TPC Sawgrass, which just isn't Jason Day. So if there's going to be a place where he puts it all together, if his long game's that good, and again, that's not Jason Day, is it? If his long game's that good, then he's imminently going to do something very, very special in my view.
We started discussing this day for this at the players, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, as soon as it finished, yeah.
And from the week before, it was just like, yeah, listen, Jason Day, when's he next playing? Match play, oh my God, fantastic. I mean, if there's one kind of sweet thing you'd want to, give you that putting freedom that you've been he's been missing, match play is about as nice a tonic as you could possibly ask for, so if he can get the ball running with the putter, I think it's a big case of watch out.
Yeah. No, we've talked about his long game a number of times in the pod recently, haven't we? And it's just been, it's just been very, very impressive, which it's got to be some seriously good. It's got to give him a lot of confidence. And you build that kind of foundation with your long game, and it should allow him to express himself a bit more.
It's easy as well to overlook Jason Day in terms of his peak dive form, but you work it through. He won at Whistling Straits, his major at the PGA Championship. Mm. He'd won the Players at TPC Sawgrass, and clearly he's a course and format winner here at Austin Country Club. It's fascinating as well to see how this is going to work with the group below. Rory is the 5-4 favourite. Hmm. Cam Smith at 9-4. The Postman at 4-1. And Lanto Griffin at 5-1. In that group, I'm taking Cam Smith.
It's a tough one, isn't it? It is a tough old group.
I think he'll get out of that group over and above Rory.
I could
see an all-Australian shoot out there between Day and Cam Smith to get out that.
I'd be okay with that.
Yeah, I can
see. I'd be okay. I backed Smith before, okay, possibly foolishly, before the reveal happened with the groups. Mm. But even still, I'm not terrified by it because, you know, Smith is, the long game's in great shape. This the kind of course you can see that would suit his style of play. The putter's good. You know, and looking at Rory's got a little bit of internal turmoil going on at the moment.
Pete Cowan in this week, isn't he?
Just announced Pete Cowan. We don't know to what extent Pete Cowan's coming on board for, how long they've actually been engaged for. So there's a lot of distracting narratives for Rory this week. And you could see Rory losing a couple of games. Or you could also see Rory just being his mercurial Rory self and winning all three.
That's a tough group, really. The Postman, well, we know about his match play form, although he's not in great nick. And even Lanto Griffin's been playing some great stuff recently, and he's a fantastic putter, Griffin. And what have you got to be at a match play event? Awesome putter. So that group, to me, is a nightmare for McIlroy.
It's a killer.
With Cam, Smith and Griffin and Poulter. Wow. Can you see him strolling through, winning 3 of 3 of that?
Did you say 11 to 10, was it? Did you say to win that?
I can't see that. Like you said, you've got to look for roadblocks, and there's a lot of roadblocks there for Rory McIlroy to win this whole event. That's tough.
Yeah. Mm. No, I can see where you guys have gone with Smith. It probably does offer an element of value there if someone else is going to get out of the group other than the favourite. The bottom half of that section then, Daniel Berger, Harris English, Brendan Todd,
what
Eric
kind
Van
of group is that? Berger, English, Todd and Van Ruin. Oh my lord. That's got to be the weakest group there, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not.
Is Berger going to play or what?
Well, apparently so, but we'll see.
Isn't that wild? Like, he's had a rib issue and potential for 7 rounds this week. You'd want to be very confident in how you're feeling coming off a withdrawal.
He's 13-10 to win that group. English 11-4, Todd 7-2, and Eric Van Ruin at 4-1. That to me is a really open group.
Yeah, but even so, whoever gets through that is going to got to face the likes of John Rahm, Ryan Palmer, Shane Lowry, your mate Shane from last week, Steve, and Juan Sebastian Munoz.
The predictor model favourite. He certainly pops models, old Munoz, doesn't he? Every week. So let's have a look at that group in terms of. Clearly Rahm is going to be the favourite to get out of that group. We've got Rahm at 10-11, or 11-10 on. Palmer 7-2, Lowry 4-1, Munoz 11-2. I cannot see anyone stopping John Rahm getting out of that group.
No.
Ryan Palmer's been playing some, but Ryan Palmer to win 3 match play matches in on the
with the way he can flip on himself and start beating himself up at a moment's notice.
Nah.
You know, and doesn't seem to be able to let that go. That could spin into 2 or 3 holes lost in no time, and adios.
That to me is a free pass for Rahm, really. That quadrant is perfect for him, isn't it?
Yeah. So it should be Rahm through to the quarters there to face, well, Well, we're all gone for Jason Day, and then there's a little sprinkling of Cam Smith in there as well. So potentially a Rahm versus Day stroke Smith quarter.
Barry doesn't care. As long as Cam Smith and Jason Day beats John Rahm, he's laughing anyway, isn't he?
But sure, yeah, well, that's the thing. Once one of them gets to the quarters, then you're free rolling to the win, which is actually a really cool thing about the eight places this year. You know, you didn't have that extra stretch to get to the semi-finals, which has always felt like quite a big ask. But this feels a lot more achievable, and for that, yeah, you get one of them through, and you're free rolling. It's a pretty sweet situation to be in. But yeah, that's a nice avenue there for Rahm, and it would take him kind of shooting himself in the foot to not get into the quarters there.
Yeah, agreed.
So yeah, what is he outright?
Well, 14. So yeah, he's one of those guys right at the top of the market.
The trouble with John Spin, the problem with John Spin is putter, isn't it? I mean, his approach play again at the Players was outstanding. He is a dive winner. He won that team event with Palmer at TPC Louisiana. But yeah, don't know when you might be facing a kind of Jason Day, the old dog of war, in a quarterfinal, or Cam Smith, who can putt lights out. I don't know. 14-1 doesn't fill me with enthusiasm to win it, really.
I think Rahm's just going to become more and more dangerous the more accustomed to his new Callaway gear he becomes.
Yeah.
So there's going to be a week he'll just click. He's too good. There has to be a win coming in the near future for him.
It's up to us
to identify.
Yeah, he's certainly been pounding greens recently. Just going back to the your regular greens in regulation stat, he's been.
You're not going to be able to move him from near the top of that GIR tracker of the Masters, unfortunately.
No.
But it's the same every year. He's always at the top.
Yeah,
something's going to click.
He's clearly got something right with his irons, which. As you say, with the shift to Callaway's is good for him, I think.
So where are we heading now? The DeChambeau group, yeah?
Yeah, let's go to the final quarter, shall we? So, well, it's actually Colin Morikawa's, because he's the top seed in this, the number four. Wow. But yeah, the eye-catcher is, of course, Bryson DeChambeau, who sits in the same group as Tommy Fleetwood, Siwoo Kim and Antoine Rosner. And they'll face either Tony Finau, Jason Kokrak, Will Zalatoris, or Dylan Fratelli. For me, my final pick is in that top section, and I've opposed Bryson personally, and I've gone with Tommy Fleetwood, who I think can make it out of that group. That whole Mollywood experience from the last Ryder Cup's got to give him a lot of confidence in this match play format, I think. And even though Bryson's the short price favourite, and I'm sure you give us the prices in a second for this group, I think he's got more experience, Tommy, to overcome him in this format, and I think he'll grind him down. I think he came something like tied 40th last time in 2019 in this event, and it's the only time that he's played it. There's clearly not as much match play experience from someone like John Rahm, who's still relatively early in his career. And
these guys played lots of amateur golf. Lots of match played amateur golf.
Yeah.
I mean, at this stage, that to me is a tricky group to call. I could see Bryson, Tommy, or Siwoo getting out of it. Rosner, it's probably just a leap too far too soon. But he's certainly on the ascendancy.
DeChambeau 11-10, Tommy 11-4, Siwoo 7-2, and Rosner, the outsider, clearly at 6-1 for that group. It's a tough one for DeChambeau, that. There's no that Siwoo match, who's clearly I think in my rankings, he ranks second, joint or tied second for Pete Dye results in the last 5 years. He's been hitting the ball beautifully. I mean, approach play at the Players, Sergio ranked first for strokes gained approach. Siwoo Kim was second at the Players. And JT was fifth. Jordan Spieth sixth. Bryson DeChambeau seventh.
Well, perhaps we can get Siwoo Kim to take at least a half out of Bryson in that group. And then that'll free the road up for Tommy to to make it through. It is a tough one. Again, I guess you have to make the calls in this this format, don't you? And Fleetwood 40-1 to make, well, 40-1 outright. So again, eight places, so through to the quarterfinals there. Should he win that group, then you've got the likes of Tony Finau, Jason Cockrack, Will Zalatoris, Dylan Fratelli. I don't mean there's a great deal of fear there to make.
I thought this group was very open. Yeah, Finau is 6-4, Zalatoris 13-5, Jason Cockrack 11-4, and Dylan Fratelli 5-1. The way that he's been playing recently, I wouldn't mind Jason Cockrack in that group.
Actually, he's been putting much better, hasn't he? You know, he's always one of these players that you look at as a strong tee to green merchant.
Yeah, putting really well.
Yeah, it's been noticeable. He's certainly stepped up a level, Cockrack, over the last few months.
Barry, you're a T4 fan, are you? Do you see T4 getting through that group comfortably, or do you think there's real dangers in there?
He's going to be... Look, he had that pretty poor round there recently, but it was just kind of felt like an aberration almost.
Oh, Sawgrass, well, that course. Yeah, yeah. Now,
which is
like,
fine.
It's just the Antichrist of Sawgrass.
Yeah, yeah, totally, yeah. And they can do that too.
Yeah.
So, Look, he's gonna want to prove something to himself, and not in terms of just getting a win, but just a little bit of match play with the Ryder Cup on the horizon. So, yeah. It's a tricky one to come out of because Zalatoris is just playing remarkable golf. Mm. So, and Cockrack playing well and pounding the ball a lot. You know, it's that's another question mark group for me. It's tricky, but if Tony gets going, who knows?
Yeah, it's quite a weak quarter. Full stop. I think. I think I counted 7 out of the 16 were debutants in this format of the game. So, this event at least. So, a few of them got their work cut out. I guess in the bottom half of that, Victor Hovland, Abraham Anser, Bernd Wiesberger, and Kevin Streelman. Again, not an overly strong group. And then Colin Morikawa, Billy Horschel, Max Homer, and JT Poston. In the bottom half of that, and again, you know, you could make a case for Morikawa, although he's making his debut again in this particular event.
That's a rough group, that one, that last one, Morikawa group. Like you could see, and you easily see any of the four winning that group. You know, although Poston played absolute garbage last week after I shouted him out on the podcast. He was 3-under through 4 or 5 holes. And I was thinking, this is great. Off we go.
Morikawa's 5-4. Yeah. Sorry, Barry. But Morikawa 5-4. Homer 3-1. Horschel 100-30. JT Poston 5-1. Homer's been playing some beautiful stuff, hasn't he?
Yeah.
That's not an easy group for Morikawa. And if one thing goes wrong with Morikawa, we know it's the putter. Even Billy Ho. When Billy Ho clicks, Billy Ho. I mean, look at what he did at WGC. It was the week Morikawa won. Horschel was outstanding that week. That's a tough group, that is.
Yeah. He played 4 times, never made it past his best in the old format was 17th. So, you know, he's made it through a couple of rounds here or there. But
is this his debut, Morikawa, in the match play?
Yeah, because of course they didn't play last year. So,
no, of course not.
A lot of these younger lads are making their first.
What's the group? The group above is 13. Let's just run through the odds quickly on that. Hovland at 13 to 10 best price. Anser 12-5. Streelman 9-2. Wiesberger 9-2.
So, have you guys got any bets at all in this quarter?
If you're going down the route of feast or famine,
no.
Paul. Sorry, Barry, I'll jump in. If we're going through the feast or famine, for me, there's two players in this that win this. It's either JT or it's Bryson DeChambeau of the short prices at the top. And the thing with DeChambeau I like is he's clearly playing some outstanding stuff, but this golf course could play two ways to him. He could be the sensible, conservative Bryson that he was at the Players when he got into the contention before it all went wrong on Sunday, and he could play that way, or he can start having a pop at some of these par fours, so a real pop at them with the driver, And we just know with DeChambeau, his approach play recently has been outstanding. Again, I mentioned him a minute ago, seventh for approach, just behind JT at the Players. He was also 12th for approach when he won at the Arnold Palmer. And that quarter to me, I mean, you're on Fleetwood. Yeah, fine, good call. But with Finau in there, Hovland inexperienced, Morikawa inexperienced, I could see DeChambeau getting out of there. And we're talking about roadblocks. Yeah, Siwoo Kim potentially. But I think DeChambeau, when he's got this momentum and he's got a decent Pete Dye record, you look at how well he's done at Harbour Town over the years. For me, at the top of the board, we throw in Rahm, McIlroy, DJ, I'm either backing DeChambeau or I'm backing JT. So DEC for me.
Fair enough.
What about you, Barry? I did jump in, sorry.
No, I'm just like, I have nobody in that section, but I can certainly see Anser being the only roadblock to Hovland getting out of his group, because Wiesberger is not playing well. Streelman, yeah. you just
never know.
Don't think he quite had. At his vintage, when it comes to match play, he just doesn't seem like the kind that works well enough in match play, you know, against somebody young and hungry like Hovland or Anser. I think he gets through, then it's that could be a pretty juicy round of 16 match. You know, if you get a Homa or Morikawa through there, could have a good match between them. You could see a Ryder Cup preview, singles preview.
Yeah, potentially.
You could see an Anser Homer there. Homer out of his group, an Anser, because he's a true Pete Dye specialist. I'll put him up at the Players. He loves Pete Dye Designs Anser. It's just whether he putts. It's always the same with Abraham. Can be absolutely disgusting with the putter. But, you know, he might click this week.
Is there any way to do a lay double on Morikawa and McIlroy not getting out of their groups?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, tricky one.
I don't know how to figure that one out.
No, it's tricky.
We're an hour and six into this podcast, so we need to wrap up.
What I thought I'd do just quickly, because we've mentioned 64 names, and it may well be a little confusing for people listening. So, just to clarify, the four players, one from each quarter that I've backed Justin Thomas at 12-1 with the 8 places, Jason Day at 40-1 at 8 places. Tommy Fleetwood 40-1 with 8 places, and Tyrrell Hatton 28-1 again with the 8 places each way. You guys, just to clarify, who you've been on?
I'm going Casey from his area, DeChambeau from his, JT from his, and Jay Day. Those are my four.
I have Jason Day, starting at the lowest odds, Patrick Reed, Jason Day, Cam Smith, and Mark Leishman.
I have a horrible sneaky feeling, you know, that Jordan Spieth might win this, but I haven't backed him.
Oh, not that fear. This is like the fear we had when you're looking at him at 18-1 going into the Masters, and you're like, nah, he can't do it. Yeah, he did. He just ripped it apart.
I just have a sneaky feeling it's written in the stars, but there you go.
22s with 8 places.
Yeah, good. Well, very much looking forward to it, actually. It should be some good entertainment, if nothing else, over the next few days.
I wish there was more than one match play event on the PGA Tour each year. It's even if they did a shorter field like they have done on the European Tour, or some sort of modified format, like, It's just exciting, and it's a change of pace from the usual 72-hole stroke play. Like last week, I don't know if you had like a mini match play event or something. I don't know. Just really looking forward to it. It all feels like it ends too soon after the week, and it's done for a year. Although this year we do get the Ryder Cup, but it'd be nice if there was a one or two other events throughout the year that embraced the match play format.
Indeed.
Corrales Championship, I'll just throw some out for that. Coral in the end pool have gone 6 places each way of 50 odds at the Corrales. They've actually got some prices out. Corrales, alternate event, long coastal golf course, 7,670 yards. Dominican Republic, lots of wind this week, but warm wind, 27, 28 degrees. Scoring here tends to be 18 under, gets the job done. We've had Bryce Garnett win here. Graham McDowell, and last September was Hudson Swafford. I've got four for this. Clearly, the full preview is up at Golf Betting System. I'm going in reverse order on price. I'm going for podcast favourite, TPJ, Ted Potter Jr., 100-1. Loves a coastal golf course. I've got Bryce Garnett, the horse for the course, 50-1, six places each way, 50 odds with William Hill. The Garnett bet was also six places each way, 50 odds with Unibet. I've got Seb Straka, 1.5 points each way, 40-1, seven places each way with Paddy Power. Straka likes this course. Really good player when it comes to, for me, it's a mid to long iron golf course. You actually look at this, like all of the par threes are above 200 yards. There's some long fours and gettable fives. So I think for anything out from 175 out, and it was interesting. We had a situation with the interviews last year where Swofford said exactly the same thing. I love this golf course. It's all about long, mid to long irons, and that's why I play well here. Straka's statistics from 175 and out, really, really impressive. So Sepp Straka, 45-1. And the one that broke my heart yesterday, he was chalked up at 45-1 on first show by Bet365, who I don't think anyone got their prices out after that within 6 hours. So 45-1 he was first shout. He then was 35-1 with Paddy Power when they came out. And I just saw his price shrinking as people were getting on him. Anyway, Chucky Three Sticks, Charles Howe the Third, I'm on him at 28-1. Seven places each way, 50 odds with Boyle Sports. His play at the Players was absolutely phenomenal. He was third for tee to green at the Players, and he shot a 6-under 64 to end. Sorry, he was third for tee to green, that's it. He was only behind JT, Jason Day, and then we've got Charles Howe the Third for strokes gained tee to green. And if you look at Howe, and you look at courses that link to this, Sony Open at Wailea Country Club and El Chameleon Mayakoba Golf Classic, those are absolutely the perfect courses to link into this. So I think Charles Howe the Third at 28-1. So Howe, Straka, Garnett and TPJ are my four at the Corrales. Any bets for you two?
I bet Pat Perez 70-1.
The Paspalum King.
Yeah, actually, if you go through, there's a number of different variables you've added to this week's predictor on the Corrales, but he currently tops out of this field, Paspalum putting, coastal form, resort course, and your humidity stack as well, stat. Also eighth for par 72 scoring as well. So statistically, he's very, very strong on this style of track. 21st last year on debut, the only time he's played. Closed with a 68, that was his best round, so clearly started to get his head around it. The form's nothing special, hence the price, but this isn't a particularly special field, is it?
No, it's awful field, yeah. Perez is decent.
Quite happy to take him at 70-1. Matt Every's playing as well, so when there's some first-round leader prices, I'll take Matt Every, first-round leader, also.
Yay! He's back!
Barry, I take it you're on Charlie Hoffman at 18-1, the favourite this week, yeah?
Oh, all in, yeah. Come on. What the hell? The bookies are just Charlie allergic. Like, he shows a tiny glimpse of, like, being able to hold a golf club and they just, like, get the marker and just cut his price.
But, I mean, look at that top four. I mean, I slipped my wrist when not picking Brandon Grace at the Puerto Rico a few weeks ago, another tournament like this. But you looked at Grace. Grace could just, you know, worldwide winner. Clearly the best player in that field, and I picked Tom Lewis over him, but we won't go down that route. You look at the top four in this betting. Charlie Hoffman, Thomas Peters, Emiliano Grillo and Thomas Dietrich. It's like, whoa. No.
The anti-winners.
No. Oh, absolutely. Who are you going for?
I don't know. I'm kind of...
not bothered.
Yeah. I don't really have anybody at the moment, to be honest. I'm finding it a tricky one. I was looking back at the Mayakoba just to kind of get a vibe for golf and that kind of, let's say, so, almost tropical environment.
Yeah, Caribbean, yeah.
And just looking at who went well there, and there's a hell of a lot of guys in like the top 15, top 20, occupying those spots that aren't playing in this week. So you have to look a bit, you know, deep down to maybe like Patrick Rogers was like the best placed of the guys playing this week, and Jonathan Vegas, Joel Damon. But like, there's just nobody that's screaming like matching that up with a good price value. So
no, that was the trouble.
I think I might just take a pass on this one this week and enjoy the match play.
Keep your powder dry.
You do that. Right, let's close this podcast. Let's close it down, boys. It's been a long one, but you know, it's the world match play, isn't it? So it was going to be a long one. Are we recording, is this my imagination, or we're recording a Masters research pod this week?
Yes, we are.
Potentially, everyone get a date. It will be soon enough anyway, guys.
So, listeners, you may find that pre-weekend, our Masters 2021 research podcast is released. Always one of my favourite podcasts of the year.
And we could just go back and edit last year's one, just remove the years, bleep them out.
Yeah, probably. Well, thanks for your time, gentlemen. I hope your bets go well. I like watching the match play. Clearly over 5 days, and there's plenty of action on Sky, so it's all good.
Yeah, good fun. Yeah, best of luck, guys.
Best of luck, everybody.
Best of luck, everybody. We'll be back later this week with our Masters 2021 research podcast. As ever, if you could leave us a 5-star review, you power the podcast. That would be absolutely fabulous. We'll see you again soon. Goodbye.